Got a Bible with you, turn it to Mark chapter 10, 46. And I just really felt just felt this passage come to my heart because it's this is the title of it, and I think this is very targeted toward one or two or three. I don't know how many people, but I think there's a real target on this one. That there's I believe this is a prophetic word from the Lord to somebody, and he said, "Your days of captivity are over." And of course, Janet shared with what she was seeing in the meeting with those angels cutting chains and talking about the day of freedom. So we don't compare notes. And so when Janet said that, I thought, I'm on it. And it's always good to have a little bit of confirmation that you're on it. And not on something illegal, but just on the word, you know. So Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the way you take the word, you bring inspiration and reach into our hearts. Lord, I thank you that your spirit has access to our hearts, Lord, when we open the door to you. Lord, your word declares that you stand at the door and knock. And if anybody would hear that knock and open the door, you will come in. You and your Father will come in and you'll dine with us. You'll fellowship with us. You'll commune with us. You'll become one with us and take up residence in us and transform us from the inside out. So, Father, today as we're in this place and people watching online, I pray that there would be a hearing of the knocking. There'd be a hearing of the opportunity you present to us to come into a new place, a place of freedom, a place of deliverance, a place where an old thing that once bound us and held us captive, its time now has come to an end and a new day has dawned, a new day in our lives has dawned. We thank you, Lord, for the way you speak to us. So, Father, I pray by the Holy Ghost you just take this word and take it into every place where there's an openness and where there's a receptivity to you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Amen. You able to say amen to that?
Amen.
You okay with that? Yeah, so in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, we read this. I'm going to read out of New King James Version, and then I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, simply because there'll be people amongst us who are not familiar with some of the language of the Scriptures, and the Passion Translation just makes it quite a bit more simple in some regards. So we have the situation where Jesus has left probably Jerusalem, I think, and he's making his way inland in Israel. He's come to you go through the hills, through the mountain range, and you come down onto the plains, and you reach a city called Jericho, or a town called Jericho. Jericho is a very famous town. It was the very first city that was destroyed as the children of Israel came from the opposite direction, as they came across the Jordan into the promised land, to take possession of a land that God had declared, this will be your inheritance, this will be your land. The people of the land at the time were worshipping demons, they were worshipping false gods, they were doing horrendous things to their children, there was horrendous things happening. God had warned them over and over again through various peoples, but the time of their judgment was now on them, and the time of the cleansing of the land for the sake of this people coming in to take possession of it, where the land would become blessed rather than be cursed, was now upon them. So Jericho is a very famous city. It was a very heavily fortified city, and it was a city that really they wouldn't have had any human strategy as to how to take this first significant stronghold, this first significant city. But Jesus turns up, called the angel of the Lord. It's a turning up of the Lord before he came to be in his body born by Mary, if you get my theology there, understanding. And this angel of the Lord is waiting on the road. Joshua, the leader of the day, leader of the time, comes up and sees this being, and he's going, and he asks the question, are you for us or are you against us? And the Lord says to him, I'm neither for nor you against you, I'm here to take over. I'm the Lord of hosts, I'm here to take over. Joshua immediately understands This is the Lord. Joshua's had encounters with the Holy Ghost before. He's had encounters with the glory of the Lord on the tent. He's had encounters with the glory of the Lord before. He's seen great and mighty acts that God has done. And he knows the presence of God. He falls face down on the ground and says, "What has the Lord got to say to me?" Wise man. Very wise man. And then the angel of the Lord unfolds the strategy of how to take Jerusalem from then on, Jericho from then on. So this city's had a big history. And they come to this town on the way, on their journeys. And as he goes through Jericho, a crowd just keeps gathering to him. More people gather to him. More people want to follow him. More people want to hear him. More people want to experience miracles, healings, deliverance. More people just gather to him. So by the time they leave Jericho, there's quite a crowd. But they leave Jericho and there's this one man sitting by the side of the road. And of course, they weren't tar-sealed roads. They were pretty rubbly tracks, which regularly there would be dust. There'd be animal dung. There'd be sheep dung, goat dung, camel dung, and any other animal they may have had. Be chicken dung. There'd be all sorts of excrement mixed in with the dust and the... I'm just building a picture for you. And mixed into the dust on the road, and with the heat and the dryness and the wind, that wasn't a great place to sit. Just experiencing the dust and the micro excrement of the world that passes you by. This may stick. Verse 46, now they came to Jericho. Especially when it rains. Now it comes to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Bar means son of. So he was the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus. Sat by the road begging. Verse 47. When he heard this, heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 49. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. Verse 51 said, Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni," or rabbi, it was the highest respect he could give him, "that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I want to read to you from the Passion Version. Is it hot in here now? Or is it just me? Oh, it's probably just me. Yeah. Read from the Passion. We've got a log burner at home. This log burner we've had in for a year and a bit now. It's one of those ultra low emissions burners. My goodness, can it put out the heat? Especially if you stoke it up with a good bit of old man pine or something, and it just burns the heat. We've just been heated out of the dining room, a lounge at times, and the dog even, the dog's lying out on the tiles trying to get cool, you know. And so we've learned to regulate how much wood and what kind of wood we put on this thing so it doesn't just heat us out of the lounge. You know, it's fantastic heat. And it sort of reminds me of what's happening here a bit this morning, you know. When Jesus and his disciples had passed through Jericho, a large crowd joined them. Upon leaving the village, they met a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road named Timai, the son of Timai. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," or "Have mercy on me now in my affliction." by implication, heal me. That's what crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. There's a whole body of understanding behind this. Son of David, have mercy on me. When he was crying that out, by inference, he was saying, have mercy on me and heal me. That's what he's saying, by inference. You know how many things we say, we infer something, but we don't actually use the words? We get that. Verse 48. Those in the crowd were... Well, you don't always follow the crowd. Those in the crowd were indignant and scolded him for making such a disturbance. But he kept shouting with all his might, Son of David, have mercy on me now and heal me. Jesus stopped and said, call him to come. Come to me. You know, call him to come to me. So they went to the blind man and said, have courage. Get up. You know, see, their opinion changes. The crowd is so fickle. You know, the majority is usually wrong. You want to be part of the majority? You'll probably be wrong. G'day, Dave. G'day, Sarah. Have courage. Get up. Jesus is calling you. So he threw off his beggar's cloak, jumped up, and made his way to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The man said, my master, please let me see again. Jesus responded, your faith heals you. Go in peace with your sight restored. At once the man's eyes were opened and he could see again. And he began at once to follow Jesus walking down the road with him. This is what I felt in the spirit this morning as I was just with the Lord saying, Lord, what's the most important thing I can say to your people this morning? What is it you want me to say? And I felt him say there's a cry that's risen in your spirit. And I'm saying this to individuals, but I'm saying this to more than individuals, but I believe there are some specific individuals this really applies to. There's a cry that has risen in your spirit. It's an inner cry for deliverance. It's an inner cry for a change. It's an inner cry for something to be unlocked. You have been locked into something which your inner knower, your inner being knows is not where you are to be anymore. It's not what you're to be shackled by anymore. It's not what you're to be bound by anymore. It's not the smallness of locality in terms of your spiritual locality. It's too small for you now. It's not the place where you're going to prosper. And you've been locked into something that your inner person knows now is time to be broken out of that place. But at the same time, there's been a multitude of voices, and I'm speaking something specific to somebody. At the same time, there's been a multitude of voices. There's been a crowd of voices. The crowd is seldom right. The majority is seldom right. The majority voice in the world is seldom right. The majority of manipulated minds are seldom right. The majority of engineered hearts are seldom right. It's the cry in the heart. It's the cry in the spirit of those who have heard something of this Jesus, something of this possibility, something of this God, something of the one who some people have said is a Savior. There's a cry going in the heart of many. There's a cry rising in the land. There's a cry rising in the land. It's a cry for liberty. It's a cry for freedom of spirit. It's not a rebellion in the sense of rebellion against the authority of God. It's a cry for something that the Spirit knows is greater than the current limitation. And I'm not talking about a political party. This is not political. It's far greater than political. No political party can take away your salvation. No political party can bind you up in such a way that you can't walk with the Lord. So I'm talking about something greater than that. I'm talking about things that are eternal. Things that are of the kingdom of God. Things that are eternal. Things that were purchased for you when Jesus went through that whole journey of the cross. Things that were established even before time began, because the Lamb was slain from before the foundations of the world. Things that have been eternally in the heart of God for you and for me and for His corporate body. There's a cry rising. And there's a cry in this place today amongst individuals who have been bound in a situation or by a spiritual construct that has limited us from who we're really called to be. But I believe it applies to particular individuals, because you will resonate with this if this is you. And it's time today for movement. But this multitude of voices, I believe the Holy Spirit showed me, was the voices that are within and the voices that are without. This man Bartimaeus, he, as soon as he began to cry out, this guy that had been living by the, had been brought to the side of the road, or guided, or he just knew the route. Every day he would come and be by the side of that road. Every day he would be relying on the things that people, the generosity of people, which is a wonderful thing, but also on the cast-offs. And his robe identified him as a legal beggar. It was his license. But every day the dust of things would blow up. Every day, especially certain times of year, dust would blow through and the wind and the, whatever was in that dust would be. It wasn't a great existence. It was an existence eked out of the generosity of others, eked out of the pity of others, and even eked out of the snide sort of cursed look of others. Not interested in living off the dust of this world. Not interested in living off the dust of the residue of philosophies and ideas about how we should live and what we should think and how we should act and how we should believe and who we are as people. Not interested in the world's dust. Not interested in the contamination that's in that dust. Some of you may get this. But when I've seen it, when people know it, they want to break out of that. When they want to break out of the confines that this thing's created, they want to break out of it. But then there's a multitude of voices that scream at them, that yell at them, because that thing doesn't want anybody rising up above it or rising up out of it. It's a demonic construct that wants to keep you bound. It's a demonic strategy to keep you locked into the place of smallness. But there's this inner cry going on inside of you. There's an inner cry, and that inner cry is going to get louder than the voices that are shouting you down. And there's a rise in the church. There's a cry in the church for more of what God has for us. For more understanding, more revelation, more of what Jesus has already purchased for us. There's some things that we haven't been seeing as much as we're able to see yet. Not that God's withholding. It's just that there are certain things that are revealed at certain times. And then there are times when that is revealed more deeply and more completely. There are things that were spoken by the prophets and written down by the prophets, but they were told to seal it up for a particular time. And the Word of God is like that. Revelation is like that. Since the 1500s, or just a bit before, we've been in this accelerated journey of the restoration of the church, with the understandings of the key things that we need to know for our foundation, for our faith, for our life in Christ, for His life in us, and to be great harvesters in this end time gathering. Where the church will come to its glory And the world will see a glorious church. And I'm not talking about the church, that everything that's called the church globally. I'm talking about the people of God, the people who truly do belong to Him, the true people who are truly baptized in Him, the people who are filled with the Spirit and walk with Him. In other words, His church. The church that recognizes His supreme authority, the church that drinks from Him and Him alone as they're living well, the church that loves one another so that we can demonstrate Christ on the earth. I'm talking about that church. I'm talking about the church that Jesus is building. Not the thing that's trying to form itself into an eventual one world religion. But there's been a multitude of voices. Here's what I would have to say. When you're after something, when you're seeking something in the Lord, the word says, he who seeks finds. It's a good thing to be a seeker. He who seeks finds. He who knocks, the door will be opened. When you're after the things of God, you know, we're called to covet, to prophesy. We're called to earnestly desire the best gifts. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we seek after, we set our face toward Him, we open our hearts toward Him, we seek after Him. Because there's a cry inside. But I want to tell you, when there's that cry inside, I've experienced in life, there's also a bunch of other voices. When I've gone after something that I believe I was to go after in God, it's surprising how many other voices try and contend for it. Going after greater understanding of healing and the provision of Jesus and healing, suddenly there was a lot of other voices contending for it. And some of those voices seemed to be important people. More mature people than me, people who had been around a bit longer, but there was this cry inside for a greater reality than we had been walking in up till that moment. And when there's that cry inside your spirit, you'll also find the day when that voice is to be heard, there's also a contending for that and an attempt by the spirits of darkness to shut that down so it never gets actuated or realized. It's why we don't back off. It's why we don't back off and bow to the voices that just try and lock us into something that the world finds acceptable. We just back off and become a nice little gathering. We come. We don't want to offend anybody. I'm going to make up a sign. I'll stick it on the door and I'll stick it on this pulpit. Come into this place at your own risk. It is likely that something expressed here will offend the way you believe and the way you see something. So if you're not prepared to be offended, don't come in. That's including somebody with a camera on their shoulder. I'm seriously thinking about making a sign. You think I'm joking? I'm actually quite serious about it. I've been putting thought into how I would word it. The gospel offends. The gospel confronts. The gospel challenges us. Who are we going to be conformed to? Christ or this world? If we're going to be conformed to Christ, there will be a cry within us that wants liberation from the conformity to this world. is a cry. Now we've got a real cat among the pigeons in the form of a US High Court ruling. Man, it's setting some things off, isn't it? Who knows how this is going to play out? Who knows what this is going to do politically, both in New Zealand, Australia, United States, especially obviously the other parts of the world. Who knows what this is going to trigger? Who knows how it'll pan out? Who knows how ugly it'll get? But all I'm saying is there's a cry in the heart. Time for your freedom. It's time for your freedom. When these people's voices rose to a crescendo, rose to an intimidating pitch, it says he cried out all the more. It's not time for passivity in terms of our own spirit, in terms of what is in the Lord and what we are growing into in the Lord. I'm not talking about being violent to people, but I'm talking about being aggressive toward the things of the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. There's an aggression in the spirit that's not manifested against people. It's manifested against things that cause us to be shut out of or draw back from the things that Jesus purchased by his own blood. Everything that Jesus purchased by his blood is legally yours. But the spirits of this age and the voices of this age will shout in your ears and try and intimidate you to get you back off into a small mediocrity where you're no threat to anybody. It's all about trying to make you small, trying to make me small. Small in relation to the inheritance. Small in relation to the possibilities of the kingdom of God manifesting through us. But there's a cry. There's a rising voice. Son of David, heal us now. Son of David, have mercy on us. Who is the Son of David? Son of David is a title for the promised Messiah who we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ. I just thought I'd settle that just in case somebody was confused. Who's David? I mean, we've got David Wilson over here. He hasn't got a son named Jesus. Scott and Craig, maybe, but not yet. Sorry, David. So there's this cry. I've generally found that when there's a cry, and there's a cry in our spirit, when there's something that the Holy Spirit is actually stirring in us, and that starts to rise and up in us, and it starts to reach out and go after things that are in the Lord, there's these voices. I think somebody said we had a spirit of dissatisfaction once. Is that right? Because we were going after healing. We were going after healing. Healing for our family. It was years ago. Many years ago. And one of these voices said, you've got a spirit of dissatisfaction. What do you mean? I should be satisfied with sickness and disease and oppression? Should I be satisfied with that? When Jesus went to a cross, I want him to have the reward of his suffering. That was the cry of the Mennonite missionaries when they left the shores of Europe, complete with their own coffin, heading for Africa, knowing that they may last days, weeks, months, maybe years, but they were never returning. And the cry was, can't remember the cry here. It's something like this, for Jesus and the reward of his suffering. It's good to be stirred inside and know that you're after something that Jesus has purchased for you, because when you know you're after it from the inside, it actually honors Jesus. How about you're working your bottom off day and night to provide for your family. And the kid comes up and sits at the table. Oh, yeah. Don't know if I like that. Not enough salt. I don't want that. I want this. We've been working our bottom off to get you fed, boy. Really? Can I have your iPad? It really honors Jesus when we go after what he suffered for. It really does. All of the provisions of the kingdom, forgiveness, mercy, reconciliation to the Father, eternal life, cleansing of our consciences. Then there's all the things, deliverance for our bondage, healing for our bodies, healing for our tormented minds, provision for our families, provision for our life, the presence of God, being a place where God himself occupies. And we have his presence and his fellowship forever. And that's a beautiful thing. What was this cry? The cry in his heart. I tell you what, he had two choices. He was either to shut down, go back under his beggar's garment, live the rest of his life with dust in his lungs. Who knows what sticking to the sweat of his brow? No hope. What would happen when he became too sick to beg? Was anybody ever going to look after him, really? He wasn't married, probably. Probably didn't have children. That was the normal social welfare system of the time. And being able to glean from the harvests, which was part of the law for Israel. But instead, something kept rising up inside of him. There's some people here, you've been at the brink of going back. You've been at the brink of shutting down. You've been at the brink of just settling back into the mediocrity, into that place where you've been for a while, and it's like you started to poke your head up, you started to cry out, you started to go after something, but then there's been these voices within and voices without that have tried to intimidate you back into that old place. There's some people who know that, they recognize that, that's exactly where you've been. I want to tell you, my friends, today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of liberty. Today is the day of stepping up off the side of that road where there's the dust of the world, throwing off that old identity, throwing off that old beggar's garment and coming and responding to the call of the Lord, because he's calling every one of us. Every one of us in this tent, every one of us under the sound of my voice is called of the Lord. You're called to know him. You're called to be reconciled to him. You're called to walk with him. You're called to have your life healed up and delivered. You're called to glorify him. You're called to know his love and his power and his goodness in your life. You're called. He would that none would perish, but all would come into the knowledge of eternal life. Every one of you is called. You've got the choice to sit by the road and eat the dust, or to get up off your backside and go to and respond to his call and say, look, and he says, what do you want? I need you. I need to be forgiven. I need to be cleansed. I need my mind back. I need these tormenting voices to shut up. The old blindness, the old dependencies, which were really a prison, the old conveniently fashioned identity that may have served a purpose for a little while to eke out some existence in the world, but really it became a prison. You are fashioned and called for a higher realm, a higher life, a higher meaning, a higher purpose, a higher encounter, for a higher ministry, a higher flow from your life. It's time to cast off. Cast off that old place, that old identity, that old limitation. And through the power of Jesus, to begin a new life. Or to begin another stage of your journey, another stage of your life. A new season in your walk with the Lord. Jesus said to him, go your way. He didn't go his way at all. He walked along the road with the Lord. Jesus healed him. His faith, that avenue of faith, healing came, it was healed. Jesus said, go your way. This guy knew better. I'm not going to go my way anymore. I'm not going to do my thing anymore. I'm not going to try and live this life the way I think anymore, the way I'm eking out things anymore. I'm not going to live according to my wisdom anymore. It hasn't done me a lot of good. So even though Jesus released him and said, go your way. In other words, his healing of this man was without condition. This man had a cry. This man had a cry for something far greater, far more meaningful, far more than the dust of the animals and the dust of people's feet and the things that people would eke out to him. This man got up, joined Jesus on the road. These are little key statements in the scriptures. He got up and he joined Jesus on the road and went with him. That was a fantastic choice. I've seen people get healed. With one lady in Cromwell, lived in another town but was visiting her brother. And there was a meeting, I think it might have even been on a Saturday afternoon. It wasn't the usual meeting time. And our pastor, Fergus McIntyre from Queenstown, was over. We were in Cromwell, the little fledgling New Life Church. And this lady was there, and unbeknown to Fergus, this lady had a very severe form of cancer. She was up for an operation, which would just buy her a bit of time. She'd need to wear a bag, and so on and so forth. And she was only a young lady. I would say she was probably no older than 30. And her other sister, maybe mother, were visiting somebody that was in the church. And there was only probably 30 people in the meeting. And these people were sitting down the back just visiting. They were from another town, a few hundred miles further north. And Fergus has this word of knowledge. He said, I see somebody having to go in for an operation and you're going to come out with a bag. And I can't remember what else he said. And this young lady who wasn't walking with the Lord, responded. Went up the front. Fergus laid hands on her and prayed for her. There was no immediate change that anybody could tell. And then several weeks later, we found out she'd been completely healed. Two or three years later, she's visiting her brother again and they're at our house. And she talks about her healing, and she said, I'm still not really following Jesus. And I'm thinking, wow, you got healed of an incurable cancer situation, miraculously healed and given your life back, and you're still not walking with the Lord? But you see, Jesus healed her without that condition. You hear me? Jesus healed her without that condition, without the condition that she would follow him. Jesus healed her to give her an opportunity to experience his love, his kindness, and his power, and then be able to make a choice. Jesus did the same, and she might be following the Lord now. Something may have come to her mind and realized, my goodness, he healed me. I would have been gone by now, so on and so on. Something else may have happened in her life that caused her. Bring all this together and say, man, I'm going to choose you, Lord. I'm going to walk with you. That may have happened by now. I just don't know. Here's what I'm trying to say. Jesus healed Bartimaeus. And then still, there were no conditions attached. If I heal you, you're going to need to follow me. If I heal you, you're going to need to follow me. Condition. Jesus just said, what do you want? He said, I want my sight. I want to be able to see. Jesus said, your faith's healed you. He was healed, and he said, now go your way. But he had a cry. And it was for more than the healing. It was for more than an immediate miracle. And he understood this was the Messiah, the Son of David. So he didn't just go his way. He went onto the road and walked with the Lord. That was the greatest thing he could have done, was to get on the road with the Lord and walk with him. Because then the wisdom, the word, the power, the grace that would not just heal him, but give him eternal life. Give him eternal life would become his. Let's all stand. Some of you, this may have been resonating. May have been resonating within you. And you don't really need any further even ask whether you want to respond. You're just right, ready right now. But if you've had that cry, to whatever degree, and you identify with this, and you're saying, man, today I'm taking a step. Today I'm going to ignore those voices. I'm not going to bow to those intimidating voices. I'm going to step forward and pursue what I'm after in the Lord. I'm going to step forward. I'm after him. I'm not going to bow down to it. Get up. Just get up and get up here. Get up here. Maybe one, there may be two, there may be who knows what. Maybe you don't know the Lord yet. You think, man, I'm not sure if I understand everything. You don't have to understand everything. I still don't understand everything. How can we understand fully the one who created all things? We're the created. We're not the creator. You don't know the Lord yet. You haven't made that step of receiving Christ. Well, today would be a perfect day to do that, right? Today would be a perfect day to open your heart to the Lord and respond to that knocking. It would be a perfect day to do that. You got the choice. Either the dust of this world as world passes you by, or the kindness and mercy of God, and join him on the road. I'd rather be on the road than sitting begging beside it. If that's you, you don't know the Lord yet. I opened my heart to the Lord and received him as my Lord and Savior when I was 19 in a healing meeting in Majestic House. There was a battle inside of me being able to do my own thing and walk my own road. Or do I yield to the Lord and I'll just put it in this language, walk with him in his road. That was the battle that was going on inside. And I reached a point where I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to yield to you. I don't understand it all. I'm just going to yield to you. I'm going to yield to your word. I'm going to yield to your will. And in that period, in that meeting, received some ministry. Somebody prayed for me and led me in prayer through to opening my heart to the Lord and receiving him. And I want to tell you, it brought such a shift, such a transformation, began a whole new journey in my life, and I'm so, so, so glad. began me on a new journey. Maybe you're worried about the family voices. Maybe they're trying to intimidate you to stay where you're at. Maybe it's friends, your group of friends, your associates. Maybe it's their voices that you're worried about, trying to intimidate you. Maybe it's internal voices, voices that you've listened to for years inside you. And it's those voices that are trying to intimidate you and lock you in and hold you in that old place that you don't belong anymore. Whatever it is, it's your choice today to step out and respond to the call of the Lord. I'm going to lead you in some prayer corporately, and then I'm going to ask ministry team people to come and just minister to you. There may be a specific thing. Maybe just this general prayer that we pray together is going to be all that's needed. How about you pray with me? Pray after me. Father, and if you're sitting in the back or you're standing somewhere and you haven't responded, you're still welcome to pray this. But there's something very powerful in making a movement, taking a step, physical step. So pray, sorry to false start there. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that I've identified that cry within me is actually a godly thing. It's been my spirit crying out inside of me for greater dimension and greater reality in your kingdom. Father, today, there's been many voices, but I'm ignoring those voices. I'm pushing through them, and I'm coming to you. Lord, I open my heart to you. To you, Lord Jesus. Come into my life. Fill me with your presence. Forgive me of all my sin. Make me a new creation. Welcome me into your family. In Jesus' name. But Father, right now, I push back the voices of intimidation. And I arise, I throw off that old place, I throw off that old garment, and I come to you, and I'm going to walk with you. I'm not just going to go my way, I'm going to go your way. I'm joining you on the road. Lord, a road of discovery, road of revelation, road of encounter. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Put your hand on your head. Put your right hand on your head and pray after me. Father, right now, I break the power of the voices of intimidation that have tried to hold me in a place that is less than your calling. I break my agreement with those lies now. With those intimidating voices. And I say, Lord, I'm standing up with you. I'm standing up in you. And I'm walking with you. Release to me now revelation, understanding, encounter in your inheritance for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Thank you, Father, right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Ministry team, would you come up and just minister to those who still want some ministry? That's right. If you don't want any ministry, just go and sit down. If you want to receive a bit of ministry, people are going to move among you.
How you doing?